Welcome to the debauchery. Hinterkaifeck was a small, family-owned farm in the Bavarian region of Germany. In March of 1922, this busy farm suddenly grew quiet, and it seemed the family who lived there just disappeared. A few days later, this family was discovered, battered, beaten, and brutally murdered. Who could have been evil enough to murder an entire family? The answer is unknown to this day. But Garrett,
dun dun dun,
we do have ideas. I'm Dave Jari.
I'm Garrett Quarter.
And this is Criminal As Fuck. What's good, all you criminals, the boss, and true crime douchebags? And welcome to another episode of Criminal AF. Once again, I am Dave Jari, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Garrett Quarter.
How we doing?
Let's all give a huge Criminal AF shout-out to Not That Chad for becoming our newest member of the debauched.
Not That Chad.
Not That Chad. The other Chad. And a special shout out goes out to Jeanette LeBlanc. LeBlanc. Should I say English or French?
LeBlanc.
LeBlanc.
For upgrading her membership. So thank you all so much for being a part of our fucked up family. And also a shout out goes out to all of our free members. Thank you all for being amazing. Before we jump into all the fun today, and it will be fun, Garrett, we just need to go over some things regarding Criminal AF. Now, we're a comedic, informative, true crime-ish podcast. True crime-ish. Meaning we do talk about some true crime, like Florida Man, and today's episode, the Maddock Murders. We'll also be talking about some things not related to true crime, like our mail call. But whatever we do talk about, we're going to have some fun doing it.
Of course.
Now, sometimes we find that certain aspects of these stories are hilarious. Yes, I did say hilarious. And sometimes we like to call people out for being dirtbags or some Keystone cops that fumble a case and, you know, whatever plethora of fucking hijinks happens. If this is your first time joining us, you're about to experience a couple of guys who have ADHD. And we also fucking swear a lot, so who knows where these conversations will take us. I think we're most likened to, I would say we're a guilty pleasure podcast. You know, like one that people love to listen to, but God forbid.
Yeah, they don't want
to. If their family or friends know.
They don't want to tell their friends.
Right. What would they say at the PTO meeting?
We're the sneaky link of podcasts.
Yeah.
We're the sketchy guy at the bar that you bring home at 2 a.m. That you let take you home at 2 a.m.
Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that. Don't ever tell anybody. Don't you tell anybody. Don't
fucking Christina. Yeah. Stop. Don't tell.
With that being said, we do discuss some pretty horrific and tragic stories that involve murder.
Yay!
Rape.
Aww.
Torture. And we will not shy away from the most gruesome of details, regardless of how disgusting they may be. Now, we understand that Criminal AF is not for everyone, and that's okay. And we just ask that you at least give it a listen. If it's not for you, thanks for checking it out.
See ya.
But if it is, welcome to the debauchery. Now head on over to criminalasfuck.com for all of your Criminal AF needs. If you don't want the word fuck in your search history, then just go to criminalafpodcast.com.
Stop being a bitch too.
Or criminalaf.llc.
I don't want to hear it.
They
stop being a bitch.
There, but
honestly, how when like the fact that we have fuck as our URL.
It's, yeah.
Come on, guys. Who's doing that?
Not
right
many
now?
People do that.
No. In the world of this PC bullshit.
Yeah.
You have to type in fuck to get to our website.
Yeah.
Come on.
It just feels good.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
It's like a what they call those, microaggression. You know, it's like, oh, let me go on a website, oh, criminal ads. Fuck. Oh, yeah. It feels so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, you can go there at criminalasfuck.com. And you can check out our videos, some of our episodes, reviews, send us messages for mail call. And
rate Dave's feet.
Oh yeah, I got
please.
Feet.
He's on WikiFeet, guys.
Yeah, I got so feet pics on there.
Go find. You know what would be crazy? What if
all
you, after I say
calloused.
That? What if I say, after I say that you're on there?
In the fucking hits,
yeah,
the hits fucking bump. Nah,
all
yeah,
of a sudden, somebody snagged your feet.
Now, while you're visiting Criminal AF, go check out our merch.
Go get you some merch.
Yes, sir. We're adding new styles and designs all the time, so go check it out. Now, you can also go visit our friends over at WelcomeToTheDebauchery.com, where you can find ourselves, Fright Flick, FMK, and True Crime University. And there might be another one joining us. Stay tuned. Finally, if there is one thing that we ask of you is that you go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Good Pods and leave us a 5-star rating, a positive review, and click the share button. It costs you absolutely nothing to do, but just a few seconds of your day, and it'll help us immensely in spreading the word that Criminal AF is the
number one true crime podcast in the world.
Meep, 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 meep.
Criminal AF will be back after this quick break.
How can you get generic Viagra for just 87 cents per 100 milligram tablet? First, just click the link for Friday plans in the episode description to receive $10 off your first order. Then, select why you need generic Viagra, the quantity you need, and the dosage, and give it a few seconds for their system to qualify you and find the best deals, and boom! Generic Viagra for just 87 cents for each 100 milligram tablet. It's that easy. And don't worry, your doctor's visit and shipping are free. So click on the link in episode description to receive $10 off your first order of generic Viagra from Friday Plans.
So you like to listen to people talk about crime, but did you ever wonder why criminals do the things they do? Like what makes them tick? My name is Debbie, and I'm the professor at True Crime University. Join me in the classroom Thursdays, wherever you get your podcasts, for intellectual discussions about crime, psychology, and why criminals do what they do. See you there.
Now back to Criminal AF.
Mail call. Mail call. Mail call.
Welcome to Mail Call, where you can send in your questions and we answer them. Can be any question you want. True crime questions, serious questions, random questions, situational questions. How's my rash doing? It can be out of that. I'm kidding, I don't have a rash. Everything is fair game for Mail Call. How do you get your question in? You just go to criminalasfuckagain.com and go to the send it in tab. There you'll find our mail call link where you can email us your questions. And if you'd rather send in a voice question, just click the red microphone and record your question.
Oh, before we get into mail call too, gotten messages from a lot of people that talked about how ridiculous that last episode was, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
How crazy that story was.
Yeah, that was fucking wild. Imagine that. He was in those walls for fucking weeks,
yeah,
dude.
A lot of people like are like, that's my worst. Like a lot of fears and phobias were activated listening to that. There's a lot of people. A lot of women are afraid to be at home, and some dude is just in their house.
Fucking wild, dude. Fucking wild. Because if you're just looking like in the space of your walls right here.
He's got to be a contortion artist, too.
Yeah.
It's a good episode.
Check your house. Go around your house and just check for, like, peepholes and shit. Yeah. You never know.
Or, like, fake walls.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Check your closet.
Yeah. You never know.
Our first question for this segment is from Nicole, and she actually sent us a voice question. I like these voice questions. Ooh. Send in your voice questions. I like them.
Yeah.
Like
voice questions over emails.
Here we go.
Hey, guys. Love listening to you. Wanted to ask, I'm originally from Connecticut. I know that's where you guys are. Yep. Wanted to see if you have any favorites, either serial killers or stories from Connecticut that are your favorite.
Ooh, good one, good one, good one.
Ooh.
I would say that there is one case from Connecticut that has always intrigued me, and it happened only a couple towns away from us in Waterford, actually a town where we work, and that's the case of Kyle Seidel. Hope I'm pronouncing it right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Kyle was 34 years old. He was married. He was a father of three. He went out on the night of December 21st, 2012, to pick up dinner for him and his family. Later that night, at 8 o'clock p.m., just a short time later, Kyle's car was found pulled into the parking lot of the Family Bowl bowling alley, with Kyle laying on the ground with fatal gunshot wounds. He never regained consciousness and died later at the hospital. The reason this is all very strange, and that from the reports I've read, is that Kyle was not a bad guy. You know, he's a good guy. He's a hard worker. He devoted to his family. And the way his car was positioned in the parking lot, like, it wasn't actually in a parking spot, but it was just like as if he just pulled in and stepped out of the car.
Yep.
You know, it makes it look like he didn't intend to stop there. Now, could it be someone flagged him down or a possible road rage incident, you know, that escalated quickly? Who knows? But his car door was left open, and his car was still running when he was found. Now, the case remains open to this day. No one has ever come forward with information on what happened that night. It's just a complete mystery. Like, honey, I'm going to go pick up the pizza, and a half hour later,
you're face down in a parking lot somewhere.
We found your husband dead.
Yeah.
What? What the fuck just happened? Now, and where this happened, it's not
I've always said road rage.
I'm going to say road rage.
I've always said road rage.
Yeah.
Somebody, he slammed on his brakes.
Either he cut somebody off and they fucking pulled over, or someone cut him. I don't know. Something in that moment, from his house to there, something fucking happened, and it was like kind of like a quick just pull over to the side. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. Now, where this happened, it's not some fucking back road hick, fork, you know, because there's a lot of hick areas up here in Connecticut, you know what I mean, where we're from.
Yeah, we talk about it in this.
But this is like Main Strip. This is like Boston Post Road.
Lots of traffic.
Lots of traffic. So somebody had to have seen this.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like late. I mean, this was like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you're just driving around the road, not paying attention to the side.
Yeah, I don't know.
People get a lot of...
There's a lot of people that go through there, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so...
still like everybody's in their own world.
Yeah.
It's like New York, when you see, like... You just see, like, people getting stabbed, and people are just... where they have their headphones on, they're just face down walking.
Yeah. Or you're, like, walking down the sidewalk, and somebody's, like, stealing fucking tires off a car.
Yeah, you're just in your own fucking world.
Don't make eye contact. Just go. Yeah, so this is, like, still open. It's currently a $25,000 reward leading to the arrest of the person or people that are responsible. And if anyone is listening to this and does have information to this case, they can contact Waterford Police Department at 860-442-0645. Ooh. Imagine if we solve this fucking thing.
Dude, that would
imagine if we solve this. Listen.
Amazing.
If you guys love us and you support us and if you know anything about this case, I mean, great. Let's solve this case.
Yeah.
Make sure you mention Criminal AF.
I want the listeners of Criminal AF to do a Don't Fuck With Cats documentary. Like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's all get famous. All right, question for you, though.
Yeah.
Would you, all right, for me personally, because I would do this, if somebody, if my wife was murdered,
oof, okay,
right, or something crazy.
You're going right there. Okay,
I'm going to go,
okay.
there. Or, you know, my mom, somebody close to me.
No.
Close to me.
Yeah.
I would totally lie on the ransom.
You would, lie?
I would say, $25,000 for a loved one.
What, you would say it was $100,000?
Oh, $100,000,
yeah.
$200,000.
And then give them $25,000?
I'd give them whatever I got, you know, hey, but sorry.
Here's $7.27. I'm sorry.
Sorry, my mortgage came out this month.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had to pay for my wife's fucking funeral.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? I'm totally not. I'm not going to just come up with a random. I'm going to say whatever I can to get the I don't care. What are you going to do? Sue me?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, go ahead.
Granted, $25,000, I could do quite a bit with $25,000.
Sure, it's a lot of money.
But this is also.
You could argue it's life-changing money, especially if you need it at that point.
Right. If you need a new car.
Yeah, what, you know what I mean?
You're so behind on your fucking mortgage. I mean, it is 2024. People are fucking losing their houses left and right.
Yeah, well, it's going to get worse, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe add a little inflation money to this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's
put
what
it,
I'm saying.
Put it in a high escrow account. Let it fucking build the.
I'm telling you right now. $200,000 for anybody who comes forward. They get to me.
Yeah.
I got Applebee's gift cards. Is that it?
You like Sephora? Yeah.
Thank you for doing the right thing, though.
I appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
No, I'm. Oh, well, yeah.
Thank you for finding
my voice, killer. I'm totally inflating the money.
Yeah.
Because I don't like. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. $25,000. I would be offended up in wherever I am.
If I was dead.
If I was dead.
If my family
and my whole family
was like.
$25,000.
All we can scrounge up is $25,000. That's all you were worth to us is $25,000.
I feel offended.
I would be like,
my life insurance policy was more. You made more money off my death.
I'm haunting all of you. But anyways, yeah. And let me tell you something. We don't live in a fucking metropolis. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, none of these towns around here are metropolises.
They're New England.
Like, what's the biggest city? 60, 70,000?
Well, Hartford.
No, I mean, in our corner.
Oh, in our corner?
Yeah. 70? Maybe 100?
100,000 people?
New London? Norwich? You think? I don't know. But the point is being, like, there's not a lot of people here. You know what I mean? Somebody had to have fucking said something.
40,000 in Norwich.
That's it? 40,000?
40,000. So New London is probably the same. 50, right around the same.
60?
New London only has 27,000.
Shut
Norwich,
the fuck up.
Norwich has 10,000 more. So, Norwich is probably the biggest one in this area. In this south.
In our area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely bigger than Groton.
That's wild. Yeah. But the point being is, like, we're not a major fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, somebody had to have said something. Somebody had to have fucking, hey, I might have fucking killed somebody. I'm not sure. You know, whatever. Somebody knows. Somebody definitely fucking knows. But anyway, all right.
Dave wants you guys to solve it.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Yeah, and make sure you say criminal. I heard this on Criminal AF. They said that you had $200,000 reward.
And a couple Applebee's gift cards.
That fucking guy, Garrett, said he had $200,000 and a fucking gift card to fucking Ulta. All right, what's your Connecticut case?
Case Altoid Sours for you. They're discontinued. Mine's going to be a... probably not a big famous one, but it happened here in Norwich.
That happened at Mohegan Park?
Mohegan Park Apartments.
Oh, yeah. I was kidding. Really?
Yeah.
Mohegan Park Apartments. Okay.
Mohegan Park Jacqueline Worth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Not a huge prolific murder or anything like that. No one's going to even know about it. But
if you're from around here, you will.
Yeah. It was definitely a big case in here. And it was right around, like, I was in high school. It was a big case. Basically, boyfriend was annoyed.
Baby daddy drama.
Baby daddy drama. If I'm not mistaken, I'm probably butchering this because it's been a while. I don't know the case by heart, but he shot her through the door of her apartment in front of her kids.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then that was a huge manhunt. And then the trial was all big. I knew a lot of people who knew who she was. So it was like every day it was posting justice for Jacqueline.
Yeah. Well, like I said,
like that. It was just a big moment in this local area.
Yeah. Because at that time I was over in Montville, and even I knew people who knew her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, this area.
And what a way to.
Have to know. Somebody knows somebody. You know what I mean?
Shooting someone in front of their kids and then
just.
And
fucking wild.
And then mounting. Dipping.
Yeah.
And then, I think, I'm not sure how old they were. They were young, though. Under 10. Both of them were under 10.
Yeah.
And they had to just sit there with their dying mother.
Yeah.
Until paramedics.
That's how Dexter started.
Yeah.
Watching his mother get fucking butchered.
Yep. So, yeah, I just remember that was a big case. It sticks with me. I'll remember that one.
Yeah.
If you say Norwich murders,
it's literally 3 minutes away from you right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Just where the body was found. Remember we talked about that on the podcast? Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Mohegan Park. Yeah. I was kidding about what was it, Mohegan Park? And you're like, yeah, apartments. Yeah. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Okay. And we don't get usually like murders like that. It's more like bums found dead in a back alley or something.
Right. Yeah. Fucking hooker or something.
Yeah. Get a lot of stabbings.
Yep.
Shootings, but not like a murder.
Yeah, that was wild. I do remember that.
Yeah, that was a big. It was everywhere. Remember everywhere on social media. Yeah. It was
And like I said, somebody doesn't matter who you know or who knew. What somebody knew, there was a connection somehow.
Yeah. Oh, and someone was advocating a lot for just to find out who her killer was because he made it. He was out for a while.
Yeah, yeah, he was running around for a bit. Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with that one, Jacqueline Worth.
Nice.
Look up the story.
Yeah, good question, Nicole. Mm-hmm. That actually like. We actually dove into that pretty good. I like it. Good question. All right. Next up, we have Scarlet A. Ooh, Scarlet. Scarlet letter. Scarlet A. What is she saying? Is she a freak or something? Is that what she's saying? Scarlet A. All right. They say rapid fire questions for both Dave and Garrett. Ooh, okay. Here we go. All right. I'm going to do yours first. Rapid fire.
Okay.
Boom, 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 boom.
Go. I like this.
All right. Favorite drink. Rapid, let's go.
So, relax. I got a peach green tea.
Peach green tea. Okay. Texting or talking?
Texting. I'm not a fucking psychopath.
Ariel or Jasmine?
Dude, it's got to be Jasmine.
Jasmine.
Jasmine's the hottest fucking Disney princess, guys. What are you?
Jasmine.
By far the hottest Disney princess.
Name one of the seven dwarfs.
Bashful.
Bashful, okay. Kanye or Drake?
Drake, come on.
Oh, I think that was insulting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Fucking Kanye, get the hell out of here.
All right. When was the last time you cried?
Oh. It's sobbing, crying, or... I'm sorry, this is rapid, but sobbing, crying, or
tears came from your face.
Just tears. Yeah. I don't know. I saw just tears coming down my face. It was a TikTok.
Coming on your face?
Tears coming down my face. It was a TikTok about... I don't even know.
Yeah.
It was sad. It was sad. It was something.
A little choked up.
Yeah. It was like, you know, they get you. It was something.
In the arms of
No, it wasn't
an
something
angel.
Like that. It was like, it was a story about a kid, like a little boy. It was like the cancer fight. You know what I mean? It was horrible.
All right.
It was horrible.
I'm going to start crying now.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So it was, but I wasn't sobbing. It was just, you know, you get a tear.
Yeah. You get a little lump in the
sobbing,
throat.
Sobbing? I couldn't even tell you when the last time I sobbed, cried.
My dad. 2017.
Understandable.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Cried probably 3 days ago. Same thing. Watching some stupid fucking TikTok.
TikTok. Yeah. All right.
And you just... you fucking, you know, the lip starts going and all that kind of stuff. All right. Yeah. Rapid. All right. Here we go. Rapid. All right. Scale of 1 to 10. How good are you at skateboarding?
Ooh. I'll say 6.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You got skills?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I would bust my ass right now. I would get on a thing and just be like, woof.
Yeah, I used to skate a lot.
Like stepping on a banana peel. I'll be like, woof.
Shout out Worship Skateboards, Norwich, Connecticut.
Oh, okay. They going to pay us for that? Or?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Make a high-pitched sound.
Me? Wait, that's not high pitch.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you're belting out.
Break
like
a fucking.
What, you have an opera over there?
Oh, meme.
All right, here we go. We don't usually go political on the show, but we do have one here.
Come on.
If Joe Biden, and Donald Trump were drowning and you had to save one, who would it be?
You're a piece of shit. Can I just skip?
No. You got to save one of them. Who are you saving?
You're such a piece of shit.
I actually have an answer to this one. It just came off the dome.
No, skip.
No, you got to answer.
No.
You have to save one, Garrett. Answer it.
Joe.
You would save Joe?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha.
Joe.
All right. I'm gonna answer this because this is actually kind of funny. It's funny in my head. I don't know if it's gonna be funny out loud, but I would save Donald Trump.
Of course you would. Sorry, go ahead.
Because no, listen, if for one reason only, it's because if I saved Joe Biden, he would just turn back around and walk back into the fucking water. You ever see those videos where like a deer is stuck in a fence and then they like unhook it and it just runs in circles and runs right back into the fucking fence? That'll be Joe. He'd be like, where am I?
It would be funny to see.
Hi. How are you?
Hurry up, babe. Go. We're trying to.
How's filming. Your FaceTime talking? Do you want to say hi?
Yeah.
Come say hi. Okay. Say hi on Dad's microphone.
That's my daughter.
Immortalized right there.
Immortalized on Curly F.
All right.
I was going to say, it would be funny to see Trump drown, though, just because of the noises that he would make.
I'm the best drowner ever. Nobody drowns better than me. Holding up his.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. I'm going to go out. Yeah. I'm going to go out in style. Some say I couldn't drown.
Yeah, but here I am, I'm drowning. Sleepy Joe couldn't drown like I can.
Yeah. You set me up for that question. Fuck you. Go next.
Well, it's a lot better. I don't know what would be funnier, that or fucking, like, Joe couldn't even, like, fucking panic while he's fucking drowning. He'd be like, whoa.
He'll just stare at you in the eyes while he's going down.
Right.
Like, what
it's like, no, Joe, walk towards the shore. I don't know what I'm doing.
Like the... Like, I'm literally picturing the scene from Titanic when the captain's going down. He's just walking around looking at the glass panels until the water comes in. All right, go next. No political shit. Go.
Oh, my God. All right.
Oh, it's my turn, right?
Yeah, we got one more.
Oh.
What is your favorite food truck food?
Ooh, food truck food. All right. We're going to start off probably tacos. Tacos.
I would.
There's so many good food trucks that have tacos.
I have yet to find a food truck that I didn't like.
There's also a food truck pizza here that's one of the best pizzas in this whole fucking area.
Oh, the fucking
Brick and Basil.
Woo. Yeah, that's a good
one. They have like a old school Italian woods stone stove hanging off the food truck.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and
shout out Brick and Basil, Norwich, Connecticut.
And that's the one where the food truck looks like a log cabin.
Oh, yeah. And it's like a whole bunch of hippies that own it. And it's cool vibes. There's weird knickknacks all over the place and shit like that. It's like, good, spot. Good spot.
Yeah,
good spot.
Really good. Yeah. If I went to a food truck festival, I would automatically beeline to the Mexican.
Oh, Mexican food. Mexican, empanadas,
Spanish. Oh, I fucking love it.
The giant, the shawarma. It's not shawarma, but you know what I'm saying? The fucking giant spickle of meat that they just cut right off. Oh, yeah.
This is going to be my first summer where I'm not going to be able to just devour every single fucking food truck.
Mm.
I can only probably have a bite at
each one. But that's, if you think about it, if you go with people.
Mm.
Saves you money in the long run because you can just be like, hey,
let me get a bite of that.
I'll give you 20 bucks right now.
Yeah.
Just let me get like a bite off of everything. And then you just little bites every now and again. You know what I mean? You'll fill you up fast.
Yeah. There's actually a food truck festival coming up soon. Yep.
I'd love a good food truck. But I think I could say, you know, I like a good Asian fusion food truck too.
Oh, yeah.
But if I had to pick one, taco food trucks are good. Mexican.
You can't go
Mexican. Rice and beans, empanadas.
Everything.
Fucking
all of it.
All of it.
Just
all right.
Fucking throw it in my fucking face.
All right.
All right. You got questions for me?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Let me bring them up. All right.
All right. Here we go.
All right. Do you believe in love at first sight?
No.
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 I don't know.
I believe in lust at first sight.
Sure. Okay. What is your ideal temperature outside?
74.
That's a good temperature. Give or receive?
Oh, I'm a giver, bro. I give.
Dave's down there until he has to devil face.
Yep. Yeah. He's looking up at you with those eyes.
At least five. At least five. Minimum.
Say something cool.
Well, this just went
fast. Sorry, that went dark. That went dark real fast.
All right. What?
He's the little train that came.
The little train that could. Choo choo, motherfucker.
All right. Say something cool.
Oh, God. I'm not. How you doing? I don't know.
That was not cool.
That was kind of creepy. Cool. I like the fucking. Especially if you see me, I got fucking like white hair now, and it's like.
How you doing?
Imagine that.
You want to get eaten out?
Yeah. How you doing? I'm a giver.
Oh, that's. Run, ladies. Run.
Right. Yeah, I don't know anything cool.
Is a human life more valuable than a dog's? Oh, this is. Oh, yes, you gave me the fucking political one.
Oh. I will say this.
Scarlet A is coming with the heat.
Because we are a criminal, true crime-ish podcast. Mm-hmm. I will say it depends on the person.
Gotcha.
And it depends on the dog.
Yeah, it's a little fucking. You towed that line so well. I'll be honest. Can I say something on this? Yeah. Of course, a human's life is more valuable, right?
In general.
But yeah. I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. I can watch a person being beheaded on the internet.
Yeah.
And not feel a thing.
Right.
Or cartel videos or people getting electrocuted. Or people getting massively hurt. I'll kind of like giggle. You know what I mean? Like I'm not.
Car accident.
Dark humor, obviously.
Car accidents.
Yeah, car accidents, all that stuff. But the minute I see someone hit a dog on the internet or like hurt a dog, I'm like, up in fucking arms. And I don't know why that is, because I truly believe that like if you're gonna pick a human over an animal,
yeah.
But there's something about
watching. Speaking of a dog. Oh, hi Anya. Oh, you got kisses.
Ew. Yeah. You hear that fucking?
Oh, yeah, she's like, she's a giver too, but we're. All right, no.
Yeah, nothing like bestiality joke on the podcast. That's not gonna get us kids.
No, I will
but
say,
you know what I'm trying to say though. Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I will say that I do value Anya's life more than I would say Michael Ross.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I would pick a random dog on the street and say that.
Right.
But
do I value Anya's life over my son's?
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No. And I would say almost every person.
Right.
It's just. For some reason, yeah, I can watch.
If somebody held a gun to my head and be like, choose now your son or the dog. And I'm like, are you fucking stupid?
Yeah.
Shoot the dog. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. But if you would feel, you would laugh if you saw a video of your son tripping and hitting his head.
Oh, and like falling down a flight of stairs.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hilarious.
If you saw the video of somebody smacking a dog, you'd be like, what the? What?
Yeah.
They don't deserve it. It's interesting how that
happens.
They
don't deserve it.
It's just funny how the human psyche is. Like brutal videos.
I am a firm believer that dogs are raised to be bad.
Oh yeah,
because of their owner.
Well, there's some.
Obviously, you're going to have
there's still some aggressive dog breeds and or personalities. But yeah, I agree. Right. I agree 100%.
Because I've had two pit bulls.
Oh, I love pits.
And I love pits. Greatest dogs ever. You know what I mean? It's all how you raise them. But anyway, yeah, it depends on the person. Depends on the dog. All right. Next.
Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, or Hufflepuff. Didn't we just talk about this last episode?
The Harry Potter?
Yeah. Or no, maybe we Houses? Maybe this was we blend that podcast episodes and then just us being at work talking about nothing.
And then not to mention the fucking 30-40 minutes of us just talking back and forth that get cuts from the episode.
Yeah. We probably cut 4 hours out of this podcast. It was just going on rant.
We just had like a 45-minute discussion about I'm not even gonna tell you, but yeah, it's.
Don't say it.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Pick Harry Potter house.
Gryffindor. Say it again.
Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Slytherin.
Yeah.
Ravenclaw.
Yeah.
Hufflepuff.
Slytherin.
Good boy.
Yeah.
Good boy.
Oh, Slytherin. Right?
Good boy. Slytherin all fucking day. Yeah. Everybody's like, oh, Gryffindor. I'll be a Gryffindor. No, you won't. You'll be a Hufflepuff or a Ravenclaw.
What's up, dude?
You'll be a Hufflepuff or a Ravenclaw. Slytherin all day.
Oh, can you let her out? Want to take her out?
Thank you.
Thanks, bud. It's great having kids, isn't it?
Yellow.
Yeah, 100% Slytherin.
Yeah, that's
And for anybody that says Gryffindor, what?
You always the main character.
You're a follower.
Energy.
You're a follower.
Main character energy too. You think you're the main character.
Right. Oh, look at me. I'm Harry Potter. No, you're not.
It's courage.
All right, next.
First celebrity crush.
Ooh, first celebrity crush. Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good choice. Yep. That's a real good choice.
Yeah. And
mine was JoJo.
JoJo. Siwa?
No, so, no. Oh. Hell no. That was, no, way before.
I was going to say, that's you're a little old for that.
Do the research. JoJo.
JoJo. Yeah, I know JoJo.
She was a singer way back in like.
Yeah. Yeah, wasn't she like a Disney kid too or something?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
If I remember correctly, she's cute.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Ooh, black raspberry.
Mm, that's interesting. Kind of old man-ish.
Black raspberry?
Yeah. I used to scoop ice cream. That was my second job ever. It was Michael's Dairy in New London.
Okay.
And a lot of old people would get the...
Black raspberry?
Pistachio, black raspberry, or the Rocky Road. That was the old people's shit right there.
Wow.
I swear to God. That's coming from experience of scooping ice cream. That was a black raspberry, pistachio, and Rocky Road. Those were sold by anyone over the age of like 60 would get.
Maybe my grandmother got it.
Coffee too. Coffee ice cream was coffee a big old cream. One. It was a big old person thing too.
I can see that.
If you were the opposite sex for a day.
Black raspberry just fucking hits different though.
It's all right. It's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right.
Whatever.
There's so many better flavors than that, but okay. If you were the opposite sex for a day.
Ooh, okay.
What would the first thing you would do? I let all the homies hit.
Can it be a series of things?
Sure. I don't know.
All right.
Rapid questions. Go.
All right. If I was a woman for the day, like if I woke up and boom, I'm a woman. First thing I would do is I would get naked. I would lay a mirror on the floor and I would squat over the mirror.
Yo, what the fuck? Where are you going?
As I'm doing jumping jacks while I'm shoving everything I possibly can into my orifice.
Yo, you're not leaving this in.
Why?
You're not leaving.
If you could be a woman for one day, like, you wouldn't...
Yo, there's something there. There's some... What you just said...
What?
There's something there.
What?
There's some sort of... All right, just going.
No. Wait.
We're not going to unpack that.
No, what would you... What would you do?
Go ahead.
What would you do?
Go ahead.
You're telling me if you were a girl for a day, you wouldn't do any of that.
No, I would definitely indulge.
You gotta explore a little bit.
I definitely explore a little bit. But the fact that you're gonna get a mirror and just start shoving randomly sized things up your orifice.
Okay.
I don't know. There's something there. That's a kink for you for sure.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't have one. It would be cool to have one. And I would want to know what it would be like.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You know, because like as a woman, what does it feel like for a guy? You know,
yeah.
Or you know,
at
as
least
a guy,
you didn't say like, "Oh, I'm gonna let all my friends hit."
You're gonna let all your friends hit.
I'm gonna let all my friends hit.
No, that means I would have to see your shit.
Yeah,
I don't want to see your shit.
That's what cracks me up.
Yeah. No.
When like a guy who's like, "If I was a girl, I'd just be fucking." I'm like, what?
Well, I mean, that's why, like, if you ask a woman, if she was a guy for a day, what was she doing?
She'd say the same thing.
She would 100% be fucking swinging it like a fucking elephant trunk.
Helicopter.
Yeah, helicopter, fucking jumping around, fucking whacking around everywhere, fucking sticking it in fucking Cool Whip, you know, whatever.
Apple pies,
yeah. So, I don't know, judge me, I don't care.
No, I'm not judging, I'm just saying there's something there. There's more to unpack there. We're not going to deep into this. This episode has already gone on.
For a current woman not to be doing this on a daily basis boggles my mind.
Mm. Yeah. In a nerdy voice, order a cup of coffee.
In a nerdy, oh my God, in a nerdy voice, order a cup. I don't. How do you order coffee? I just get a coffee. Can I? Yeah.
Excuse me. Can I?
Are you Jewish?
Can I please? Can I please?
Oh, my back hurts.
Oh, my Lanta. My shoulder is. I got a kink in my shoulder. Can I get a large coffee with cream and sugar?
I don't know.
I can't do any other voices.
That's my voice. I actually pranked you one time at work.
Yeah, you did. You skipped
with that voice.
I remember exactly.
I'm like, yes, can I please speak to Garrett Quarter, please?
You're like, this is.
Oh, man.
All right. Anyway. All right. Thank you very much, Scarlett. That was actually fun. I like those. All right, next up is Mr. B. Oh, Mr. B. He's actually a dear friend of mine and well over 30 years. And he asks,
Mr. B,
do you still have a fat girl on your jock? All right, so don't cancel us. So this is a reference from when we were back in high school. You ever hear the song Fat Girl from Eazy-E?
Yeah. The funky fresh Eazy-E, new kid on the block,
and already got a fat girl on my jock. If you haven't heard it, look it up. It's actually fucking hilarious. So this is way back in like the early 1990s, 90, 91 time. And we entered the high school talent show. And it was me, it was Mr. B, it was his brother, who is also a good friend of mine, and another kid. So Mr. B was the beatboxer hype man, you know? It's like, you know? And then his brother was the rapper, he was Eazy-E. The other kid was like the DJ, and I played the role of the fat girl. I had the dress, I was like, you know, I played it to the max. I had the hair, the fucking everything. I had the strut and the fucking stage. I was fucking killing it. Anyway, it was hilarious. Believe it or not, back in 1990, when you do a song called Fat Girl on My Jock, you win first place in the talent show.
Wow, imagine if you did that in today's...
No fucking shot.
They wouldn't even let you go up there.
They would like, no, you're not doing that fucking song. Yeah. So
well, congratulations on first place of the talent show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good old days, you know, people didn't get butt hurt. You know, it was fun.
That's crazy, that Fat Girl on My Jock won
first place at the school talent show. And I will have to say...
Well, it won because of you.
Oh, I was an amazing fat girl. Yeah. I was an amazing fat girl.
It brought the ambiance, the showmanship.
Yep. And it even has like girl parts, you know, where it's like, love me, hug me, you know, fucking shit. Yeah, it's funny. Listen to the song. Look it up on YouTube.
I gotta hear it again. It's been a long time.
Yeah. All right. Finally, final question. Mail call's been going on for like fucking an hour and a half now. Yeah.
And then if you include the cuts.
Yeah. All right. Finally, we have Honey Red. Honey Red. I try to think of like where these people come up with their names. Honey Red. I don't know. Honey Red.
I remember we're asking people to come up with
funny. Yeah, come up with names.
New ones.
So yeah. So we've had Don't Call Me Shirley. That was a funny one. Scarlet A. Oh, Scarlet Letter. Honey Red. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But I appreciate the originality. Anyways, they ask, what smell do you like to keep smelling, despite the fact that it doesn't smell very good?
I mean, my own fart, just, you know, that's the first one.
Yeah.
But I think that's everybody. I also love...
I think everybody can pretty much tolerate their own farts.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they're a little brutal. I will say, from one of our last shows, is that I cannot tolerate your farts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it depends. Yeah. If it's a bacon, egg, and cheese...
That was fucking
if
rough.
If it's a bacon, egg, and cheese going down, I don't even like
that
it.
That was fucking rough. All right.
So, yeah, obviously my own fart. Mm. It's always everybody likes. I'm telling you, deep down, there's like some weird thing going on.
Yeah,
where everybody likes their own fart.
The smelling between your toes after a basketball game.
Mm. Anyway, and BO in general.
Did you? Yeah, you like the smell of BO?
No, like if we play basketball for a long, like I'm sweating my balls off. Gym
you
working
smell
out.
Your balls.
No. But like, you know what I mean? You know how you lift up and you...
Yeah, you got that musk.
Yeah, that's like
you got that musk.
You keep coming back for another one. Like, do I smell? You keep checking yourself. Yeah, you smell. Go fucking shower.
Yeah.
There is something, you know what I mean, that you keep coming back to.
Yeah. You've never done a smell check on your nuts?
No, I've never, like, I know if my balls are sweaty, I'll shower. But like, if I, I'm not sticking my hand down there.
Never did a sniff test?
Of course people have done it, but I don't do it that often.
We got to check. I mean, if you're on a hot date, you're like, oh, excuse me, I got to run to the bathroom real quick. And you give a fuck a little, make sure everything's kosher down there.
You're in the sink with some hand soap.
With the bathroom hand soap.
With the gel that...
Don't judge. A lot of you have done that. So, yeah. Anyway.
All right. What's yours?
All right. Mine would be, I'm going to preface this with, I'm a huge lover of asparagus. I love asparagus. It's probably one of my favorite vegetables.
You like the asparagus pea.
The asparagus pea? Bro, there is something hypnotic.
You're getting high off of that shit.
There is something hypnotic about asparagus pea. And I dare anyone to challenge the fact that it does have a very compelling smell.
Another person's asparagus pea is disgusting, though.
Well, same thing as a fart.
Yeah.
I will eat asparagus just because I miss the smell of asparagus pea. All right.
Good.
Thank you, everyone, for sending in your questions.
Like the rapid fire. Wait, that wasn't really rapid fire.
It wasn't really rapid fire. It took like fucking 27 minutes.
But appreciate the questions.
Yeah. That was a very fun mail call.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right. Well, let's go to Florida then.
What in the fuck is going on in Florida?
Local 10 News. Shoot me then.
Shoot me then.
Miami men jailed after Grindr threesome goes wrong.
Ooh.
A pair of Miami men offered a man money for sex after messaging him on the app Grindr. Mm. But things did not go as planned.
Ooh.
After they met up, the pair wanted their money back. And they used a toy gun to make their point, police said. According to the arrest reports, the suspects, Yandri Mora Martinez and Ludwig Duvan Ramirez.
Ooh, Ludwig. Okay.
That's an interesting one. Yeah. Then called the police themselves and claimed to be victims of a home invasion robbery. Miami police...
After they just jacked this guy with a fucking toy gun. Okay.
Miami police instead arrested them Monday morning at their home in the 2700 block of Northwest 15th Street. Police said the victim told them that he had been speaking with one of the men on Grindr, who offered him $160 to have sex with both of them on Sunday night.
$160?
Grindr's kind of... Grindr's kind of wild.
Mm.
The victim agreed, police said, and after going to their home and began having sex with them, things started to go wrong.
Ooh.
According to the reports, the victim said Ramirez, 26, had erectile dysfunction.
Mm.
And the threesome abruptly ended.
Maybe he had stage fright.
Yeah, that's first threesome.
Or maybe they didn't do a fucking smell check on their fucking nuts.
They didn't hit the hand soap bathroom.
Yeah.
The bathroom hand soap. Police said Mora Martinez, 25, then demanded his $80 deposit back.
Hmm.
He put a deposit down.
Whoa. He paid $80 up front.
Up front.
And then you get the other $80.
You get the $80 after.
After.
I mean, smart guy. The report states an argument ensued, and then Mora Martinez pulled a toy revolver, put it to the victim's head, and told him in Spanish, "You're not going anywhere. I want my money. I'm not giving you anything," the report said.
So kidnapping.
Kidnap. And even though it was a fake gun, it's still you're using it and trying to scare him.
Yeah, as intimidation.
Yep. And he didn't know if it was real or not.
Right.
"I'm not giving you anything," the report says, the victim replied. "Shoot me then."
Ooh. That's tough talk for somebody who can't get their dick up.
Police said Mora Martinez.
I'd pay the money just to fucking get out of that situation.
I know.
Fine, whatever.
You're 180. Yeah, here's you 180. Got me. I gotta go.
Yeah. Don't ever repeat this.
Police said Mora Martinez began to strike the victim, and the pair pinned him down and called the police. But he, along with Ramirez, What do you think was going to happen to this? But he, along with Ramirez, would end up being taken to jail on charges of false imprisonment.
Yeah.
With a deadly weapon.
Hey, you can't fucking do
and
that.
And battery.
Shit.
The victim was able to provide proof of the conversations on Grindr and a Zella transaction.
On Zillow?
No, Zella.
Oh, okay.
The arrest report states Ramirez, a Colombian national, remained held in Turner Guilford Knight Correctional Center on an immigration and customs enforcement hold and a $2,000 bond, according to jail records. Mora Martinez, a Cuban national, remained at TGK on the same $2,000 bond, but with no immigration hold.
Yeah, because is that like still a thing? Like Cubans, like if you make it to the shore, you're automatically.
I'm not sure.
Like,
I'm not sure. That journey's kind of crazy, though. You ever seen those fucking boats?
They're swinging out.
By the time they get there, the thing's like capsized. Yeah. They're just holding on to the edge.
There's only like a tire left.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. But I'm pretty sure that's still in effect. Like,
it might be
for Cubans specifically. Like, if you make it to the shore, you earned your free pass.
Dude, Miami, talk about good food trucks and Spanish food.
Oh yeah,
like Little Havana in Miami. Get one of those like Cuban coffees that's basically cocaine in a fucking cup.
Yeah, well, even Little Havana in fucking New York. Right?
Yeah, good food.
Yeah,
good food.
Yeah. So future reference, you cannot hold somebody against their will.
Even with a toy gun. And also, don't pay for $160 threesomes on Grindr.
Yeah.
Because you never know who's going to show up.
That's automatic. I mean, $160 for sex, that's automatically like sketch. That's sketch.
It's not, though, because Grindr, they only just have...
They just want to fuck.
They meet up anywhere.
They just want to fuck.
Yeah. So, I mean, he wants to do it anyway.
Yeah.
It's not like a paid escort at that point.
And I do have to say,
you might as well make some money on it, too.
I do want to say, in defense of the gentleman that was assaulted, to keep an erection in an uncomfortable situation. Who know, you know, maybe there was a smell that came across. Maybe there was something that happened. You know what I mean?
Let alone the thought of two random people that have no clue who they are.
Yeah, I mean, like, maybe he got stage fright, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't blame the guy.
Yeah.
Like, and especially coming from two other dudes who know the pressures of that.
Right.
That you gotta perform.
Like, sometimes it's an actual, like, chore to, like, keep, you know? Like, you have to, like... You
put your 100% undivided attention in the...
Yeah. Thing. Like, you gotta, like, put your mind, like, elsewhere and be like, yeah, okay, all right, let's go.
Yeah, you can't blame the guy.
Yeah.
Come on. Coming from other fellow dudes. Dude. Yeah, this fellow is three dudes.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
You know?
You should know. They should know that at all things.
Like, sometimes you need a prime environment to, like, keep the, you know?
To perform.
Right.
I'm with you.
You know? Like, if you're with your wife and, like, the fucking kids are banging on the fucking door, I want my fucking pancakes.
Oh, there's no way.
You know, it's like, oh, fuck. There's well, no there way. Goes that. Yeah, yeah. Yep, sorry.
Nothing takes you out of the movie with two children.
Yeah.
Let me be coming from experience.
Yeah. You know, it's just, like, fucking shit happens. We're just saying that whether you're in a heterosexual relationship or a homosexual relationship.
Threesomes are a bad idea.
Threesomes are a bad idea. And sometimes it's hard to keep your dick
hard. As the fantasy, everybody thinks it's big, great. Wonderful thing.
It's actually confusing.
There's too much. Too much going on.
Because
somebody said, it's like trying to watch two movies at the same time that you both want to watch. Like, you want to watch
both. Yeah, yeah.
You're trying to.
Right. Like, I've had a couple of experiences, and it's actually very, like, I don't know, 9 times out of 10 when you're in a threesome, you're there with your SO, your significant other, and then there's a third. In your mind, you're like, oh, I'm probably never going to get this opportunity again, so I'm going after the fucking other, you know what I mean?
But
you have to, like, keep in mind, like, your significant other
It's too much. Yeah, it's too much.
Too much pressure.
If it's three friends.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Whatever. That's happened, too. It's like, whatever.
But significant other?
Yeah.
No, there's too much. You gotta worry about it.
Right. If you show too much attention, it's what, you fucking like her? You like her now?
Yeah.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
It's not worth it.
It is fun, though. But, yeah, it's not worth it.
Not worth it.
Criminal AF will be back after this quick break.
Do you like scary movies? If your answer is yes, then you need to check out my show, Fright Flick FMK. My name is Jay, and along with my co-host, Gentleman Jack, I watch and discuss horror movies and tell you what I think about them. New or old, mainstream or underground, no horror flick is safe from my warped opinion. So go check out Fright Flick FMK now. We are on all major podcast platforms and YouTube. Also, be sure to follow the show on all major social media sites. But be warned, we are not your mama's podcast, and this promo will be the longest amount of time you'll hear me talk without swearing or cracking an offensive joke. Now go grab your favorite drink, pull up a chair, and give us a listen.
Now back to Criminal AF.
All right, let's get this fucking show going. All right, so we're going to jump right into this story about an entire family who was murdered on their small Bavarian farm back in March of 1922. No one has ever been caught, charged, or convicted for this crime, but we do have our suspicions. So roll down the windows in your car and crank up the volume so all the other moms in the school pickup line know that it's time to fuck this episode in the mouth.
Let the moms in the pickup line know it's time to fuck.
Hello, Mrs. Johnson. How is Katie today? Oh, I'm sorry. Let me turn down my fucking volume. All right, here we go.
I'm actually picturing a parent pickup line.
Yeah.
And just our
just
voices.
Hearing our just, voices.
And then she came.
Yeah. He fucked his mother's brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a wild one. All right, let's paint a picture, Garrett. Okay.
Okay.
It's 1922.
Okay. Oh.
We're in the beautiful Bavarian region of Germany.
Oh, dance party, dance party.
About 40 miles north of Munich.
Somebody called a Krankenwagen. It's ambulance in German.
This land is rich with history. Pristine countryside, medieval castles.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Magnificent palaces. And, you know, there's some small villages rooted in their traditional ways of life. Yeah, right?
The poors.
Yeah. People of poverty.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah. Now, this is a region of hardworking people tilling the soil to sustain an honest way of life. Okay. This region was also the birthplace of the Nazi Party. I just want to throw that out there. All right. So just outside.
Listen, you know, it's a blemish on history.
Yeah. So just outside the hamlet of Kaifek, you would find a small Hinterkaifeck farmstead. Hinter means behind. So behind Kaifek. There, now you know some fucking German. So
the language actually makes sense.
Yeah. So where else?
When you break it down.
Where else can you find such scholastic and intellectual fucking lessons except here on Criminal AF? You know? So now you know German. All right. Hinterkaifeck Farmstead was built around 1863 and as of 1922 was owned by a widowed 35-year-old woman named Victoria Gabriel, whose husband, Carl Gabriel, was killed in World War I. Along with Victoria on the farm was her 7-year-old daughter, Cecilia, known as Silly, her 2-year-old son, Joseph, and Victoria's parents, 63-year-old Andreas Gruber, and his wife, also named Cecilia, at age 72.
Interesting names.
Yeah.
Well, they don't sound very, but they don't sound very German to me.
Cecilia?
Cecilia, yes. But Joseph?
Well, it's J-O-S-E-F.
Oh, it's like yeah, they, yeah. Joseph.
Joseph.
Joseph. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
And Victoria is...
And Gruber. Gruber is 100% of.
And Victoria is V-I-K. Victoria. Victoria. So, yeah. It
does okay. I forgot. German, you just throw a K in there somewhere and it's German. Or a S, an S-C-H at the end of something.
S-C-H, yeah. Ish.
Ish.
Yeah. All right. Also living on this farmstead was their live-in maid, Crescens Reiger.
Reiger. All
right. In the weeks and months leading up to the end of March of 1922, several odd occurrences happened in and around the farmstead. Strange noises and what seemed to be loud footsteps in the attic led Crescens Reiger, the Gruber's maid for over a year, to abruptly quit in September of 1921, believing that the house is to be haunted. In March of 1922... Andreas discovered a newspaper from Munich on his property. Now, mind you, this is 40 miles away. It's 1922. It's not like you just hop in your fucking...
Or even mail. A newspaper.
Mail call. So, thinking that this mail was mixed up with the neighbors, he soon learned that no one along the mail route subscribed to this newspaper. Hmm. So, why did this newspaper from Munich just happen to be on the property? Days later, Andreas discovered footprints in the snow coming from the forest, leading right up to the doorway to the house.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
But there were no tracks leading away. Ooh, do we have another wall liver here?
Yeah, another wall liver?
A key to the house was also found to be missing. Okay. Now, one night in March, the family could allegedly hear footsteps walking in the attic. When Andreas searched the area, no one could be found. Where were these footsteps coming from? Andreas would tell his neighbors of these strange happenings, and they would encourage him to speak to the police. But Andreas never did. He's like, I'll fucking handle it.
Yeah. Typical 1920s dad.
Yep. Another strange incident was reported by a school friend of the younger Silly, stating that her mother, Victoria, had fled the farm the night of Thursday, March 30th, after a violent argument with her parents. But she was located hours later, hiding in the forest. Nobody knows why.
That's interesting.
On March 31st, the Grubers welcomed their new maid, Maria Baumgartner. And I had read that Maria was a sister of their previous maid, Crescent Draga. But I couldn't corroborate that. So I don't know where Maria Baumgartner came from. But anyway, she's the new maid as of March 31st. Okay, all was quiet on the Hinterkaifeck farmstead over the weekend of March 31st, 1922. A couple of coffee salesmen, Hans and Eduard Shishkovsky, arrived and knocked on the door to take the Gruber's weekly order, but nobody answered. They knocked on the windows of the house. They walked around the farm. You know, hello, anybody
hello.
Here? Where's the dance party?
No dance party.
But nobody came out. Nobody answered them. So they're like, well, I guess they're not ordering coffee this week. And they left. A couple of hours later, two hunters stopped by to purchase items from the farm. But they, too, found nobody. The postman came by. And when he didn't see or hear anyone, including the family's dog, who would usually bark incessantly, he left the mail and newspapers on the windowsill in plain sight. Another neighbor stated that they witnessed smoke coming from the chimney of the house on that Saturday, and said there was light coming from the home, showing that there were people there. So nobody was really concerned when they hadn't seen the family in a couple of days, you know, because it was...
Hanging out.
Yeah, it was reported that they often just like to be left alone, you know, just leave us alone. It wasn't until Sunday, when the family didn't attend church, the eyebrows began to raise. They never missed church, like ever. Then on Monday, April 3rd, and Tuesday, April 4th, little Silly didn't attend school. On the morning of April 4th, a mechanic by the name of Albert Hoffner came by to do some work on the farm equipment. He stayed about 4 hours and reported that he didn't see or hear anything other than the farm animals and the dog barking inside the barn. Later that day, around 3 p.m., next door neighbor Lorenz Schlittenbaumer, who's going to be a popular name here later on in the story. He sent his 16-year-old son, Johann, along with his stepson, Joseph, age 9, to the Hinterkaifeck farmstead to see if they could find the whereabouts of the family. You know, he's a concerned neighbor.
Yeah. In today's world, if my family all passed away in this house, let alone my parents would obviously figure something out.
Right.
But if we had no connection outside and it was up to our neighbors to find if we're still alive, we wouldn't be found for
weeks,
months. Yeah. I'm telling you, who talks to their neighbors nowadays? Yeah.
I live in a townhouse. Other than the occasional hello, I really don't speak to any of my neighbors. And if I hadn't seen them in like a week,
I wouldn't even question it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's different back then, though.
Yeah.
You relied on your neighbor a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. And like nowadays, if somebody knocked on my door,
God.
What the fuck are you doing?
I'm talking to them through the Ring camera. What? No, hello?
I'm hiding behind the couch.
That's true.
I'm like, I'm not fucking answering the door. Who the fuck are you? Yeah. Anyway, it's weird now.
Yeah.
It's weird. All right. So the boys eventually returned home and reported that they had seen no one at the farm. So Schlittenbauer then recruited fellow neighbors Michael Pohl and Jacob Siegel to help investigate further. Michael and Jacob reluctantly agreed because they're like, I don't really want to go there, but whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
The three men approached the barn first. They broke open the lock and pushed the heavy wood door open and were instantly hit with a horrific sight and smell. Just inside the doorway lay four bodies, three of which were partially covered with hay in an apparent attempt to hide the bodies. The four victims were Andreas Gruber, his wife Cecilia, their daughter Victoria, and 7-year-old Silly.
Oh.
Schlittenbauer realized that there were two other people missing, 2-year-old Joseph and the Gruber's new maid who had just got there on March 31st, Maria Baumgartner. So Schlittenbauer raced to the house and entered the home without pause. Keep that in mind. Inside the home were the bodies of Maria, lying in her bed, and young Joseph, found brutalized inside his bassinet.
What the fuck?
Authorities were contacted, and the investigation into the murders of Hinterkaifeck was led by Inspector George Reingruber. Why does German, it sounds so angry.
Aggressive. It's so such an aggressive language.
Such an aggressive language.
Krakenwagen.
This would prove to be a very daunting task, as the crime scene was disturbed. The bodies had been moved, and it appeared that the killer stayed on the property for at least a day or a number of days after the killings.
He was making a fire.
Yeah.
He was hanging out. He was sitting down in their chairs.
Chilling.
Yeah. Cup of tea. Yeah.
Who sat in my chair? Who ate my porridge? All right. Not only that, but all of the farm animals had been fed and tended to.
This is thoughtful.
Yeah. As well as the
this goes back to the dog question.
Yeah.
The guy cared more about the farm animals than a family of
2-year-old boy murdering his fucking bassinet. All right. He also stayed inside the house using the kitchen to prepare food. Something even more strange did stand out inside the home. The murders were ruled to have occurred on the previous Friday, March 31st. The last day anyone saw the family alive. Yet, the page on the single date calendar in the kitchen was ripped off to the date of April 2nd, meaning someone tore off the pages for March 31st and April 1st.
What a psychopath.
Mm. The motive of the crime was first suspected to be robbery, and the police interrogated traveling craftsmen, vagrants, and several inhabitants from their village and beyond. Detectives soon abandoned the burglary theory when a large amount of money was found laying out in the house. You know, it wasn't even bothered with. Now, a search of the hayloft, where an iron band had been found, police discovered evidence that someone had been living there. Haystacks had been left behind, and whoever had been there had removed roof tiles, presumably in order to keep a lookout for people coming by. There was a carpet laid out so their footsteps would be muffled if someone should come by unexpectedly. Ropes had been attached to various beams in the barn, and it was believed that this was done so the killer could lower himself quickly to the ground and make an escape should anyone enter the barn. Further evidence that someone had been living in the barn was supported by the fact that someone had defecated in the hayloft numerous times, as well as there being remains of rinds of smoked meat found near the lookout spot. This is where Andreas Gruber's pocket knife was also later found in the loft. Authorities believe that the victims had been lured to the barn by restlessness in the stable, resulting in noises from the animals. They're like, oh, what's going on out there? Let me go take a look. Initial and subsequent searches of the house failed to turn up the murder weapon, believed to be a mattock, which is an agricultural tool similar to a pickaxe.
Oh,
several
that must have been a crazy scene then.
Yeah. Being bludgeoned with a mattock.
Yeah.
Now, several neighbors had told police that Andreas always used a mattock and kept it with him at all times. It was a multi-purpose tool. You can use it to hoe the soil. You can use it to whatever. And he actually modified this mattock to include a protruding 8mm threaded screw in the handle. And this was used to puncture holes in the heads of animals Andreas was sending off to slaughter, as it was a quick and easy way to kill the farm animals.
Damn.
So, yeah, just whack them over the head with the mattock with the protruding screw and right into their fucking brain. Now, the mattock was not found until a year later when Hinterkaifeck was scheduled for demolition. The mattock was found in a hidden crawl space in the ceiling of the kitchen.
Mm.
So on April 5th, 1922, the autopsies of the family members were performed inside the barn of the farmstead. Apparently, they didn't have a coroner's office or anything, a morgue. Andreas Gruber, whose injuries were much different from the rest of the victims, had the right half of his face smashed in, cheekbones protruding, shredded flesh, and his face was caked with blood. His death was ruled to be from a fall on the tip of a heavy pickaxe, which was found in the feeding trough. The pickaxe tore through his carotid artery, causing him to bleed to death in a very short amount of time. His wife, Cecilia, was found with severe bruising around her right eye and 8 puncture holes in the right side of her skull. So somebody hit her with the bolt, with the screw of the mattock, punctured 8 times inside of her head. Their daughter, 35-year-old Victoria, her skull was found to have 9 puncture holes on the right side of her head. The right side of her face was smashed in by a blunt force object and a small round injury to the top of the head caused by a pointed object. I don't know what that tool would be, but I don't know if that's different than the 9 puncture holes. I don't know. Victoria also showed signs of being strangled prior to being bludgeoned in the head.
Isn't that interesting that both the females were strangled?
Hmm.
Tells you something about the...
About the assailant. Okay. Do you have any ideas yet? Don't say if you do. Out of all the people I mentioned so far.
It has to be a man.
Okay. All right, we'll leave it at that. Now, this is unproven. We don't know.
Yeah.
But just based on what we're seeing here. All right. So, Maria Baumgartner. She was found with several crosswise blows to the head. So somebody was just swinging. Wop, 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 wop. With the death blow being a single 4-centimeter hole at the top of her skull. Boom, straight down. Yeah. 2-year-old Joseph was killed by a single powerful blow to his skull. 2-year-old boy had his skull
bashed in,
crushed like a fucking pancake in his bassinet. And finally, and the most chilling, was 7-year-old Silly. She was found with her jaw shattered in numerous places, caused by the iron band which is found up in the loft. She suffered several blows to the head from a blunt object and a single piercing injury into the top of her skull. Her throat was also slashed, exposing a wide, gaping transverse wound across her neck, which was later learned to be caused by Andreas Gruber's pocket knife, which they found up in the loft. She was found naked from the waist down and appeared to possibly have been raped or at least attempted to be raped.
That's fucking...
I guess they didn't have rape kits back in 1922, but...
The 7-year-old girl, dude, you piece of shit.
Yep.
You real piece of shit. Like...
Yeah. All of these injuries to a 7-year-old girl were brutal and overkill, right? But this was not the worst part of her death. Silly was found with large clumps of her own hair intertwined in her hands. She was believed to have been alive for several hours as she was tortured and possibly raped, ripping the hair out of her head in the process.
Oh, man.
So, who were the Grubers? And why would anyone want to annihilate this family from the face of the earth? So, let's first take a look at the history of Hinterkaifeck. The Gabriel Gruber family was not the original owner of the farmstead. It was built and owned by the Assam family and was passed down to Joseph Assam when he married a local woman named Cecilia. In 1877.
They just keep passing that name down.
Yeah. Joseph and Cecilia had 4 children, but only 2 would live to adulthood. Joseph passed away in 1885. The now 35-year-old Cecilia was given the title and ownership of Hinterkaifeck and soon began dating a 27-year-old farmhand named, you guessed it, Andreas Gruber.
Gotcha.
The two were married a year later in 1886. Upon their marriage, Andreas, by right, was given 50% ownership of Hinterkaifeck. Not bad for a farmhand, you know. He now owned one of the biggest and most profitable farms in Bavaria. So now Andreas and Cecilia would
He was like the hot stable boy that was was working there.
Oh, yeah. Cecilia's like, in the kitchen.
I've been a widow for too long.
I've been a widow for 3 days.
It's the pool boy story, basically, right? And now now he's sitting on half of the ownership.
Yeah, she's rocking in a chair on the porch, and she's watching this sweaty, young, muscular 27-year-old shoveling cow shit.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, I got to give me some of that. Got to give me a piece of that. Yeah. So Andreas and Cecilia would go on to have 3 children, but 2 would die in adolescence.
Typical 1800s shit, though.
A little bit more on that. Hold on. The surviving child, their firstborn, was named Victoria. Cecilia's other children from her first marriage would go on to move away from Hinterkaifeck, leaving only Victoria with her parents. Basically, back then, if you remarried, I guess your previous children no longer fucking mattered anymore. So they get no inheritance. Now, Victoria would grow up to be considered a very beautiful woman, personable, polite, and seemed to have everything going for her. She was very devout in her faith, often going to church several times a week. But you never know what's occurring behind closed doors, Garrett.
No, you don't, especially those people.
Yeah. So even though Victoria exemplified a young woman who seemed to have the world at her fingertips, her father, Andreas, was a real fucking shitbag. Okay? He was considered abrasive, rude, with an extremely short temper, who was possessive over his wife and his daughter, often beating them and forbidding them to see or speak to any other people unless it was at church. By the time Victoria was 16, Andreas was raping his daughter almost on a daily basis, and this abuse went on for years. Now, we talked a little earlier about Andreas and Cecilia having 3 children, and 2 of them had died in their youth. Well, Andreas, as we've stated, was an abusive, evil waste of fucking skin. The type of guy whose mother should have swallowed instead of giving birth to this fucking mouth breather. But he was well known around Kaifeck for his extremely aggressive and brutal treatment of that he showed his wife, his children, and, you know, sometimes neighbors.
He was a guy who fought his neighbors.
Yeah. You know? So basically when the family went missing, nobody really cared because they were like, yeah, fuck him.
Yeah.
If Andreas was even slightly inconvenienced, he was quick to attack people with dangerous objects such as a scythe, a pitchfork, a shotgun, and he was most abusive to his children. In addition to beating them almost on a daily basis, he would lock his children outside of the house or in the cold cellar for many days during the winter, which ultimately and allegedly led to the death of his daughter, Sophie.
What a piece of shit.
Yeah. I couldn't find any information on the 3rd child or how they died, but I would say it's safe to assume that the fucking dick beater here had something to do with it. Now, let's fast forward to 1914, and Victoria, now 27, marries a man named Carl Gabriel, who was 26 at the time. Now, this marriage wasn't formed out of a product of love, but rather opportunity. All right. So Carl Gabriel's family, they weren't very well off. You know, it's kind of like you want to marry into a family of privilege. You know, so even though, you know, they're farmers, whatever, the
homestead had to have been doing well.
Oh, it's very extremely lucrative. Yeah. So this was a marriage of opportunity. Now, despite Andreas Gruber's extremely rough exterior and poorish appearance, the Grubers, as we said, were extremely well off. They were like one of the richest families in the area. Now, Carl Gabriel's family knew this, and they pushed for the marriage between Carl and Victoria. And because Victoria was Andreas and Cecilia's only surviving child, Hinterkaifeck would be passed on to Victoria and Carl upon their marriage. So they went off and got hitched. So now Carl Gabriel is now 50% owner of Hinterkaifeck. But not much has changed after marriage other than the ownership, because Andreas and Cecilia still lived on the farm.
Yeah, they're like, we're not.
Yeah, we're not moving out. Fuck you. So Andreas still ruled the roost with an iron fist, and he still continued to rape Victoria and beat Cecilia and fucking just be an overall fucking piece of shit. Now, if you're Carl Gabriel, you're married into this family, you don't really love the person you're with, you're just like, whatever, my parents forced me to do this because of money, whatever. Living on a farm with someone like Andreas Gruber can quickly take its toll. And regardless, if you've been handed the keys to a very profitable farm, life can be extremely miserable. Because of this strange and awkward dynamic, Carl and Victoria's marriage very quickly began to fall apart. About 4 months after getting married, Carl Gabriel enlisted in the army, most likely as a way to get away from this crazy and fucking maniacal Andreas Gruber, who by now was making Carl's life a living hell. But this escape tactic would come to backfire. It was the beginning of World War I, and Carl was sent into battle. Months later, Victoria receives a letter that Carl had been killed in battle on December 12th, 1914.
Just along with like every other German man at that time. Yeah. So many people died.
Mm-hmm. Now, to make matters worse, Victoria was also pregnant.
Oh.
She was with child. So in 1915, Victoria gives birth to a daughter she named Cecilia after her mother, but she was affectionately known as Silly. Now, not long after the birth of Silly, a maid walked in on Andreas raping Victoria. She ran out of the house and immediately went to the police. I guess incest is a very bad thing.
Yeah.
Even in 1922. Yeah. Police arrived at Hinterkaifeck and they arrested Andreas for incest. But they also arrested Victoria for the same charge.
Wow.
Nothing like adding more emotional damage to this poor woman.
Could the baby be his?
Let's continue reading. Andreas was convicted of the incest and was sentenced to a year in jail.
That's it?
And Victoria was convicted and sentenced to serve 1 month. When Victoria was released from prison, she began talking with their wealthy neighbor, Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
Schlittenbauer.
We remember him, right?
Yes.
At the beginning of the story. All right, yes. He's the same Schlittenbauer who discovered the bodies. Now, over time, Victoria had proposed that she and Schlittenbauer begin a relationship. One setback. Schlittenbauer is married.
Mm.
Okay. He claims he never had an extramarital affair with Victoria. And the purpose for all this, that, you know, Victoria, she wanted to find herself another husband before her father was released from prison, where he would continue to fucking rape Victoria. This plan didn't work out so well, but this is the early 1900s. If at first you don't succeed, just wait for someone to die at the old age of 40.
The old age of 40.
Because what happened was Lorenz Schlittenbauer's wife, she died. And not long after her passing, Schlittenbauer and Victoria begin bopping and booping. That means fucking. They were fucking, Garrett. After a while, Lorenz is like, damn, Victoria can clap. So he wants to propose to her. Right? So, but this union would be a huge deal for Lorenz. Yeah,
for sure.
So not only does Victoria have that good, but he'll also get half of Hinterkaifeck, because she still owns it, which adjoins his property, essentially
doubling
more than doubling his land ownership.
A compound at this point.
Fuck yeah. And we all know back in those days, land was...
That was everything.
Yeah. Land did all the talking. All right. So Schlittenbauer goes to Hinterkaifeck to ask Andreas for his daughter's hand in marriage. But there is a stipulation. Now, it's well known that Andreas likes his daughter. So Andreas has to agree to stop raping Victoria, to which Andreas responds, we'll see.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck. No shame in his fucking game.
What
dude.
In the country no backwoods shame. Is going on?
Like, the more the story continues, the more I'm glad he's dead. Like, fuck him. He's just a fucking dirtbag. All right. So while these marriage discussions were ongoing, the plot thickens. Victoria announces, surprise, I'm pregnant again.
It could be anybody at this point, though.
Yeah. So Andreas and Lorenz point at each other like the Spider-Man meme. They're like, it's yours. It's not mine. Blah, blah. Victoria claims that the baby is Schlittenbauer's, but he's not quite sold on that notion. After all, Andreas can't keep his peen out of his daughter's vagine. So Lorenz denies paternity of the baby, and this results in a huge confrontation between Andreas and Lorenz. Like, huge, like, to blows kind of shit. Andreas demands that Lorenz pay him child support payments. Not Victoria. Pay him child support payments. Lorenz basically says that he's not going to accept paternity of the child unless Andreas agrees to stop molesting his daughter and to give him
just
consent.
Stop doing it.
Yes. Just stop fucking your daughter. Let me marry her. Andreas refuses. Nope. I'm going to keep fucking my daughter. Nope. Fuck you. Lorenz had enough. I'm sick of this. I'm done. Blah, blah, blah. He went to authorities to report that Andreas was the father of his daughter's baby, and he was again arrested for incest. He was only in jail for about 2 weeks, and then the Schlittenbauer took back the claim.
There's some neighbor feud going.
Yeah, so Andreas was released after 2 weeks, and basically what was learned is that the Gruber Gabriel family offered to pay Schlittenbauer $2,000 to drop the charges.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, or 2,000 was it Krone? What's a fucking German money?
I don't know.
Marks.
Marks.
Yeah, 2,000 marks. So then Andreas was released. But Andreas approached Schlittenbauer and said, hey, give me back 1,800 marks for a one-time, never-to-be-asked-of-again child support. And Schlittenbauer was like, dude, you're a fucking psychopath.
Yeah.
Whatever. Take the fucking money. So he gives all the 2,000 back. He's like, I'm done with this. I'm wiping my hand. I'm fucking done, right? So in 1919, Joseph Gruber was born, and life at the Hinterkaifeck farm continues as it always has. Lorenz Schlittenbauer, he ended up marrying another woman, and Victoria and her children continue to live under the constant torment and abuse of Andreas Gruber. And this brings us to April of 1922, when the Gruber family and their maid were found murdered. So, who killed the family? Right? We need to figure this out. Nobody knows. With little to no evidence of the crime scene that might offer police a clue to the killer or killers, detectives began to draw up a list of suspects. One of the first suspects on the list was Carl Gabriel. Yes, the dead husband of Victoria.
I was going to say, what?
Although Gabriel had reportedly been killed by a shell attack in France in December of 1914 during the First World War, his body had never been recovered.
Ooh.
So shortly after the murders, people began to wonder if he had, in fact, died in the war.
He ran away. He didn't want to fight.
Right.
He went AWOL and then went right back into the farm.
Fucking murdered the family. I mean, it could happen. But this theory was put to rest when members of Carl Gabriel's platoon confirmed seeing his dead body. And the reason he was never recovered is because they were unable to recover it. You know, in the middle of battle. Back then, you know, they were just like, whatever, just leave him there, fucking rot, who cares? Next, the question of young Joseph Gabriel's paternity would also implicate another suspect.
For sure.
Lorenz Schlittenbauer, the man who found the bodies of Hinterkaifeck, and who also had a sexual relationship with Victoria shortly after the death of his first wife in 1918. Speculation of the involvement of Schlittenbauer began early in the investigation by locals, owing to his suspicious activities immediately after discovering the bodies. When Schlittenbauer arrived to investigate the whereabouts of the Grubers, along with his friends Michael Pohl and Jacob Siegel, the three men had to break the gate to enter the barn because all the doors were locked. Mm. However, immediately after finding the four bodies in the barn, Schlittenbauer apparently unlocked the front door to the house with a key, missing key.
The key that was missing.
And suspiciously entered the house alone. It was there he discovered the bodies of the maid, Maria Baumgartner, and Joseph Gabriel. Now, however, it is possible that because Schlittenbauer was Victoria's lover, he may have been given a key.
Or known where it was,
or whatever, yeah.
He was probably sneaking over there and having affairs with her anyway.
Oh, yeah. He was probably banging the fucking 73-year-old mom, too. Yeah. She wasn't getting any.
Victoria seemed like she was promiscuous.
She might have liked the D a little bit.
She might have been that farm girl.
She may have liked that D. So when asked by his companions why he had chosen to go inside the house alone when it was unclear if the murderer was still there, Schlittenbauer allegedly said he went to look for his son, Joseph.
Oh!
Now he's accepting paternity. Right? While inside the house, it is known that Schlittenbauer had disturbed the bodies at the crime scene in a way that might potentially compromise the investigation. For years after the crime, Schlittenbauer remained a center of local suspicion because of his strange comments, which were seen as proof that he knew specific details that only the killer would know. For many years, people speculated that Schlittenbauer murdered the family after Victoria demanded financial support for young Joseph. Before his death in 1941, Schlittenbauer initiated several civil lawsuit claims for slander against the people who described him as the murderer of Hinterkaifeck. And he won all of them. There was no proof.
Yeah, no proof.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. He'd be my suspicion, too.
Yep. Now, if Schlittenbauer did have knowledge of who committed the murders, he took that secret to the grave when he died. Then we have the testimony of the Gruber's former maid, Crescent Raga, who worked for the Gruber family at Hinterkaifeck from November of 1920 to around September of 1921. She gave the names of several suspects to police. One was a man named Anton Bichler. He was a local man who had helped with the potato harvest at Hinterkaifeck and therefore knew the premises. She told police she believed Anton and his brother Carl Bichler might have committed the murders. Raga claimed that Anton Bichler often talked to her about the Gruber and Gabriel family and reportedly suggested that the family ought to be dead. The former maid also said in her interrogation that the farm dog, who barked at everybody, never barked at Anton.
Really? You know what's interesting too is like this is obviously like a staple in that community, right? Like you said, like the hunters would go there to get to buy stuff, and like so there's constantly like travelers and like people coming in and out. Like it really could be anybody,
right?
It could just be a psychopath who was
traveling. And like you know, you had the coffee salesman.
Yeah,
like back then, you know, there weren't stores readily available, so you had salesmen come and bring you a fucking shirt.
Yeah, there's probably so many people. I think of Miriam's. Oh my God, Hateful Eight community. Like it was a stop on this path. Haberdashery. Mimi's haberdashery. Yeah, like, it's like a haberdashery-esque thing. Where like just travelers like, oh, weary traveler, do you need a drink?
I got this elixir.
Yeah. So who, it could be anybody.
So she told police that she thought that Anton Carl had committed the murder together with a man named George Siegel. Now Siegel was a former farmhand at Hinterkaifeck and knew of the family's fortune. Siegel had supposedly broken into a home in November of 1920 and stolen a number of items, a crime for which he denied. When questioned, Siegel stated that he had carved the handle of the murder weapon when he was working at Hinterkaifeck and knew that the tool would have been kept in the barn passage. When the farmstead was demolished a year later after the murders, the mattock was found hidden in the crawl space above the kitchen, and the pocket knife used to slit young Silly's throat was found in the hay in the barn. In the hayloft. So apparently this Siegel guy knew that the weapon would be hidden somewhere in the thing. Whatever. And according to other statements by Crescens Rieger, a thief named Joseph Thaler claimed to know which family member was sleeping in which room and stated that they had a lot of money hidden in the house.
But they also didn't, they didn't steal any. Nothing was stolen.
Right. But this former maid, she knows a lot of like fucking shady characters.
Yeah.
If she's like naming off all these people, like, yeah, you know. Whatever.
Yeah,
she just, but then again, she was the maid, and these guys were farmhands, so they probably
came in, worked for a month, and then left.
Yeah. Thaler also knew that there was a lot of money hidden in the house. So during this conversation, Rieger noted that there was another person nearby, but she could not identify who this person was. According to her statement, Joseph Thaler and the stranger had looked at the machine house, which is like near the barn, and turned their eyes upward. Whatever that means. Yeah. So the machine house was the part of the house where the footsteps in the snow were leading to.
Leading to.
That's where
it disappeared.
Yeah. So these are all plausible theories as to who killed the Gruber family. Well, except for the dead husband who was killed in the war. You know, he's obviously out. However, this next theory is the one that I'm going to go with. The theory claims that Andreas Gruber, the patriarch and chief tormentor of the Gruber family, was the murderer.
Mm.
Okay. Who cold-bloodedly beat his family members to death with his favorite farm tool, the mattock. This would account for the way in which the killer seemingly remained at the farmstead over the next 3 days after the murder. He continued to tend to the farm and the animals. He cooked meals.
Very true.
And he even tore off the dates on the calendar. You know?
Like a normal, like he never left.
Yeah. The fact that someone was present on the farm was observed by several eyewitnesses, including coffee sellers Hans Sikorsky and his brother Edward, who knocked on the door but got no answer, and Michael Plokel, who was passing by the farm on April 1st and was approached by someone in the dark, most likely believed to be Andreas. And he's also the one who reported seeing the smoke from the chimney and the light in the house and whatnot. Now, on April 2nd, there were no other reports of anyone living at the farmhouse. And no one else visited the property until April 4th. So it was simply assumed that the killer had remained in the house for 3 days. Why would Andreas Gruber wipe out his entire family? One possibility is that he learned of the real paternity of Joseph and flew into a rage. Mm-hmm. Victoria did have strangulation marks around her neck, making her murder a bit more personal. Okay.
I mean, if you're having a sexual relationship with anybody, let alone, I mean, the daughter's wrong, but you're going to develop some sort of feelings there, and the jealousy's there regardless. Right. So,
well, you turn into the fact that this is my daughter. She's my possession. And also my fuck tool.
Yeah.
You know, now the second possibility is a bit sicker and more twisted. Andreas may have wanted to move on from raping his daughter, Victoria, and begin raping his granddaughter, Silly.
Oh, well, that.
Now, Victoria was said to have run from the house the night before the murders and disappeared into the woods for hours. Who knows why? Now, this could have been because her and Andreas got into a fight over her discovering the incestuous relationship with her 7-year-old daughter.
Oh, my. That poor girl.
This fight may have escalated into the next day, which resulted in the murder of his family. Now, Silly, we learned, was kept alive much longer than everybody else. He was found naked from the waist down and was possibly raped. So if Andreas Gruber, in fact, is the killer of his family, then who killed Andreas Gruber? Right? There are two theories. The first is that he killed himself, accidentally or on purpose. There were shovel marks in the dirt of the barn showing that Gruber attempted to dig holes in the barn to hide the bodies, but the ground was still too frozen. This is when the partially covered bodies of the three other people in the barn were found covered in hay. Knowing that he was not going to be able to get away with killing his family, Gruber may have positioned the pickaxe and then leapt from the rafter, landing on the pickaxe, shredding the side of his face, severing his carotid artery.
I don't know. That would be a very hard thing to do. To line that up perfectly right. To that point.
Because the cause of his death was that he fell on the pickaxe. That's what they said. That was the official cause. He fell on the pickaxe.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. You gotta like that's like when you hear the stories about people who try to kill themselves with shotguns. Yeah. And they pull away last second.
Yeah, like half their face is gone, but they're still alive.
That's like one of those things. Like you better land this
perfectly
on with precision. Yeah. Like that. There's no way.
Like 10 out of 10 dive.
There's no way. Yeah. And either if they're on a farm, he has guns. Why wouldn't you just shoot yourself?
Just blow your head off.
Yeah. Why are you landing on him? I don't know.
Yeah. Now the second possibility of what happened to Andreas Gruber is that Andreas Gruber was killed after someone discovered the bodies in the barn and inside the home and became extremely upset.
It was, dude. This is easy. This is easy. He came over, found out that Andreas did that, killed him. That's why he knew all the stuff. He knew things before. Killed him and then pretended like, oh, I don't know what happened.
You're on the right. You're on a pretty good path. Yeah.
What is it? Schlittenberger? Schlittenbauer? Schlittenbauer was just like, he had that revenge kill right there. Yep. And honestly, I'm not mad at him.
Yeah. So the identity of that person is not known. But from evidence and remarks made after the murders, neighbor Lorenz Schlittenbauer would be the most likely suspect. Schlittenbauer may have approached the home much earlier than he originally stated, but the story he told the police may have been, accurate to a sense, but with a slight twist. Now, the theory suggests that Schlittenbauer visited Hinterkaifeck on April 2nd after noticing that the Grubers hadn't attended church and hearing rumors that Silly had not attended school on Friday or Saturday. So back then, I don't know if they still do it now, but back then, kids went to school 6 days a week. He most likely entered the home with his key and came upon the dead body of his son, 2-year-old Joseph. Searching frantically for the rest of the family, Schlittenbauer stumbled across the bodies in the barn. And then, in the rafters, discovered Andreas Gruber hiding. A fight ensued, and Schlittenbauer struck Andreas in the face with a pickaxe, also severing his carotid artery in the process.
Yeah, because the Maddox was used for every other family member.
Mm-hmm. He was the only one not killed with the Maddox.
With the Maddox,
Yeah, because as we stated, Andreas was found with different injuries than the rest of the family. Plus, he found that he was found in his bedclothes, which is old-timey way of saying pajamas. Suggesting he was possibly sleeping and caught off guard. Now, returning home, Schlittenbauer then waited a couple of days, knowing full well that Andreas Gruber, the killer of his family, was already dead. On the afternoon of April 4th, he sent his two young sons to investigate the farm, knowing full well they would be safe from harm.
Yeah.
Because he knows everything, when they returned with no news, he went with himself, taking two friends as witnesses.
Yep.
Okay. He then entered the house with his key and for the second time found the body of his young son. So I'm going with, I think it's safe to say that Andreas Gruber killed his family and then Lorenz Schlittenbauer killed Andreas Gruber.
And I'm not mad at Schlittenbauer.
No, I would too.
Yep. Not mad at all.
Especially finding your alleged 2-year-old son fucking with his head flattened.
Basically amputated. Oh, no, he wasn't. Cecilia was the one who was cut open by the throat.
Yep. So, the investigation of Hinterkaifeck was officially closed in 1955, with no charges brought against any of those suspected in the gruesome crime. Even though technically closed, the last questioning of a person of interest occurred in 1986.
Whoa!
Yes, shortly before the retirement of Detective Chief Superintendent Conrad Mueller. So whether it was Andre Gruber himself, the neighbor Lorenz Schlittenbauer, or any of the other potential suspects, the case of the Hinterkaifeck murders will most likely never be solved and will forever remain one of Germany's most puzzling and disturbing unsolved murders.
Mm.
Yes. So that'll do it.
That was a good one. That was like a game of Clue.
Havmatic Will Murder by Criminal AF. Yeah. That was close.
It was a German Clue. Yeah. Yeah, it was dance party.
It was the farmer in the barn at the dance party. Yeah. So let us know what you thought about this episode. Comment on Good Pods or Spotify and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And thank you all for hanging out with us. Head on over to criminalasfuck.com to check out our Patreon socials merch or ask us anything you'd like via our mail call tab. Or if you'd like us to give our shitty advice on a situation that's plaguing you at the moment, hit us up on Dear Douchebags. Signing off from Studio Chloroform, still in Garrett's living room. Keep your head on a swivel and stay safe till next time.
Now give me our theme music. See ya.
Executive producers for this episode are Christine Rivera, Beth Davis, Dusty J. Hicks, and Terry Burke Wall. Associate producers are Paul Hodge, Tara Mazur, Chantel Daggett, Jay from Fright Flick FMK, Charisse Webb, and Donnie Blake. Producers are J.D., Trent Gobble, Devin Dean, Ashley O'Connor, Lisa Perello, Alicia Knight, Maria Celine, Chris Owen, Not That Chad, Emily White, Ian Turner, Dom Cachito, Emily Dickendasher, Debbie from True Crime University, Renee Prada. Intro and outro music by David Mercurio. Be sure to follow Criminal AF on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, X, and YouTube. Check out all of our merch and many other items at debauchedesigns.com.